Hello and welcome to this episode of Shoulder to Shoulder, where we strive to grow in love of the Lord and each other. I'm Megan Silas.
And I'm Pam Marvin.
And we are so happy to be back after a little break, but the reason for the break was a beautiful one because we were taking a little time to enter into the Holy Triduum and then the celebration of Easter. So we are recording this the day after the actual Easter celebration.
Easter Monday.
So let me say to you, Pam, he is risen. Alleluia. It's Amen. So beautiful to have this faith where we have such an amazing reality that our God came down to earth, lived among us, taught us, suffered and died for us, but then conquered sin and death and rose from the grave. And his resurrection has opened the gates of heaven for those who believe. So I just want to say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he is the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sins. And I believe that through his resurrection, I will one day be with him in heaven if by his grace I can remain in his love in my life. So,
and I believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen. And that no one comes to the Father except through him. So what we want to talk about today is how do we maintain this Easter joy for the entire season of Easter and beyond?
And beyond. So you're going to have to talk about what Megan and I were talking off air, and I was like, well, it's the octave of Easter, so that's just 8 days. I could do that. And she said,
nope. It's not just 8 days. It's an entire season. For 50 days, we are celebrating the Easter season until the celebration of Pentecost. So, but the whole show here, I think I won't even take it beyond that, because joy should be a very distinct feature of every Christian. I strongly believe that. I am passionate about that reality. And Scripture is passionate about that reality. In the book of Nehemiah, we hear the prophet say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. In Philippians, we hear St. Paul say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. So Christian joy should be a mark upon us, something that the culture sees and says, what do they have? What is that joy? Because I think it is the honey that can attract all who don't believe.
You know, one of my favorite quotes, I say it probably quarterly on this show, and that is Mother Teresa, joy is the net in which we catch souls.
Amen, amen.
Right. And but you know, before we get too further in this, I want to like have a little chit chat with you.
Oh yeah, because we haven't been together for a bit.
And I'm actually going to do a shout out to one of our listeners who approached me.
Okay.
I recently went on my my silent retreat for a few days.
Oh, beautiful.
And she, interesting enough, came up to me and she says, I just want you to know that Megan's a friend of mine. I listen to your podcast and so thankful for your show. So shout out to Carrie Fran.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
Thank you for listening, Carrie. Please share this with any other person you think might really be blessed by it. We're so happy that you're here and listening.
Cool. That's so did you feel like a little celebrity, somebody coming up to you and saying,
I
listen to your show?
I get very uncomfortable. I honestly do. Yeah, I mean, I usually have a really, with God's grace and everything, but I the attention makes me uncomfortable, which is actually probably part of my woundedness I need to work on.
It's funny because anytime I've ever had that experience, my response is simply like, oh my goodness, I'm so happy somebody's listening.
Yes, I didn't say yes. Like, oh, you must be one of the 12.
Yeah. Well, 12 is a good number, I suppose, but it was enough for Jesus, right?
Yep.
But that's awesome. Thanks, Carrie. It's always a real blessing to think that the joy that we have in getting together and talking and just allowing this to be a part of our way of loving and serving the Lord, to know from anyone that it blesses somebody else is so great, because, you know, obviously we are having so much fun. We love to be together. And so, you know, that's kind of enough for us to have it be fulfilling, but our deep desire is always to be servants of the Lord and to hear that we are serving.
And you know, Megan, I have to say thank you to Dennis Maka and all the staff and Caleb, who's our producer today at Red Sea Radio at KEDC, for allowing us to have this platform to just talk about our love Without them, this wouldn't be happening. So if you feel called, please go on over to their website and maybe share a little of the love through some financial support. It's growing awesome. Rapidly because of the good work we're doing. So if you'd like to be a part of that support, please do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get in too much into the topic of how do we maintain this joy of the season, tell me a little bit about your Easter.
Oh my goodness. It was, okay, so I was telling you off air that I went to my silent retreat. It ended on Palm Sunday.
Yep.
And I've always had this little thing about what good gifts or what gift, Easter gift, are you going to ask the Lord for?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I said, Lord, this year, I just really want you to surprise me with whatever you want to give me. You know my heart better than mine. Right. In the past, I've actually had certain things like maybe this, maybe
right.
that. So he worked out a few things that were just so beautiful. And the first one was, I wouldn't say I was a little sad. Sad is not the right word, but I knew I wasn't going to be seeing three of my children,
mm-hmm.
three of my five. But the night before, on Friday night, my son and his wife said, hey, we'd love to see you as we drive through on our way to Austin. Can we stop over and have dinner?
Mm-hmm.
So that was Saturday night, you know, holiest night of the year.
Yeah.
I had three of my five children around my dinner table,
nice.
Which is one of, you know, the spending time together, super real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really beautiful. That was one of the bigger ones too. And there were several more, but that is the highlight that stands out the most.
Great.
Did you have one like that?
Well, you know, this Easter, my daughter, you know, she's in college, so she came home. She didn't have a huge time off for the weekend, so we didn't end up going to the Trace. We stayed in town. But what was cool about this Easter was that she brought her roommate home because her family was going to be traveling, and so it wasn't convenient for her to go home. And so I actually was really blessed to be able to invite someone else into our family. Like my little family, it's just my husband and me and my two kids. And because we don't have any family that lives nearby, we often celebrate holidays just the four of us. And I just love the opportunity to welcome somebody in. And to be honest, because I love friendship so much, and I'm so grateful to God for the friendship that has been forged between my daughter and her roommate. Like my daughter's roommate is actually an answered prayer for me.
Thanks be to God.
You know, when my daughter went away to college, I just prayed to the Lord. I was like, Lord, you know, I bring to her another person who will appreciate the beauty of who my daughter is. And I just really feel like she has found that in her roommate so beautifully. And so to be able to welcome her and to really embrace her and as part of the family, like this is something that I feel pretty passionately about as far as hospitality. When someone comes into my home, I really, really want them to feel that they are part of my family. And I really love opportunities to try to do that. And it was so sweet on Easter morning. I had had enough time in advance to know that she was going to be there. So I still do Easter baskets for my kids, even though they're, you know, older. And so, you know, right along the fireplace Aww. Area, there was an Easter basket for my daughter's roommate. And she looked at me. She's like, oh my goodness. What? I was like, of course, you're in my home for Easter with my children. You will have an Easter basket. And just to be able to bless her like that and, you know, just be really casual and not formal and just, you know, our home is your home. That really, really blessed me. And so the way we ended up doing Easter. So when my son and I went to Mass on Palm Sunday, like it was really crazy. There was so many people and the parking lot was a nightmare. And it kind of hurts my heart when I see so much unchristian behavior like right around Mass because people are stressed out about the parking lot. And so I decided, all right, we're not going to get into that craziness on Easter Sunday. So what I ended up doing is I got up early. I went and got donuts for the family. And we left super early to go to Mass and parked like really on the outskirts. And we went and tailgated with donuts. And then we had plenty of time to just walk over to Mass. We kind of waited until the Mass that was before ours got out and peacefully walked in. We had any seat in the house that we wanted. We, you know, we were able to just sit and quietly prepare and pray before Mass started with no stress. And then when it was all said and done, you know, we stayed, you know, the whole recessional, like I want to sing till the last note, you know, fades away. Oh. And we, you know, finished with, you know, our little St. Michael prayer and then just calmly went out and walked where our car was like way on the outskirts. So we didn't have to be in that, you know, mess of traffic trying to get out of the parking lot. And it really made a difference to not have spirit of stress and like kind of just almost like you're fighting against the other people trying to attend Mass for seats and parking spaces and all that. Right. So I think as a new tradition, just
that's really cool. Know. Yeah, I have to say that one thing happened. I went to St. Mary's here in College Station and they have this amazing organ. And so there was one piece that was done early in the Mass that played almost every key on that organ. It moved me to tears. It moved me to tears.
Music is so powerful.
It is. You know, I find that I do oftentimes get really emotional, especially with piano, organ, and violin. Just can move me to tears.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I find violins are, you know, literally sounds like that term pulling on heartstrings.
No.
Like, I think the violin is where that term came from because sometimes it just really penetrates your soul. So yeah, praise be to God.
Yeah.
So much goodness. So much to be joyful about.
Right. So let's live that Easter joy. So I'm ready to dive in. Are you ready to dive into that?
I'm ready to dive in.
Okay.
All right.
How do you do it, Megan?
Well, first of all, I think the reality is that you can't be joyful like kind of indiscriminately. Like you got to know what you're joyful about. And so it's like,
can you fake it till you make it? If you're not feeling it?
Well, that speaks to, I think, a part of the discussion we want to have, which is what is the expression of joy? So if you're going to say, how do I fake it? Like what that means
just
that you have
happiness.
Okay. So happiness, what
or exterior joy?
Let's just take a example. You meet somebody for the first time. What are some things that person would do or that you would experience in their presence that would have you walk away saying, wow, that's a joyful person. Like, tell me some things that would,
wonderful eye contact and a beautiful smile.
Okay.
Leaning kind of into the conversation and being like, just like someone who like sees your human dignity and recognizes you as a child of God. And it's just like these expressions in their faces of like God's love for you.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I like that a lot. I would also say that in joy, there's also an accompanying peace and a sort of a sense of security in oneself. Like joy goes out.
Yeah.
Right? It's something that I think emanates out from a person. And if somebody's really bound up within themselves, if they've functioning out of a place of insecurities and anxieties and all that sort of thing, that even if they do have some joy in them, it tends to be bound in those things and cannot come out.
I want to sidebar a little bit on that.
Okay.
Because there are different reasons people actually experience this. And I'm one of them who have a tendency to anxiety and melancholic expressions. And they are more biological than emotional. Right.
Oh, sure.
So it's like hormonal. It's just different things. And so I can recognize that that's what that is and press through it to get through it, to like really claim my joy, even though I'm feeling melancholic for whatever reason, or I'm getting some anxiety, which Like when I feel like fully myself, those things are not an issue, but sure. There are some times that it does become an issue.
Well, if you're doing the work to understand that there are, you know, reasons that are not, you know, spiritual, say, because the reality is that emotions are biological. Like nobody, like full spirits, people like angels don't have emotions because emotions are tied to your physical being. So
really?
Yeah, they really
I don't
are.
Know that I ever knew that.
But the fact that you're saying, okay, you know, I've got these physical realities.
I can parse the two. I know when one's from me and one's from biology. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, exactly. But there's a difference. This, it could be spiritual, you know? And so you're saying then you're placing a high priority on claiming your joy,
yes.
on wanting to live in joy.
Yes.
And therefore you're managing things that may
try to dampen it.
Yeah. And that is a beautiful thing. That's like to be intentional in your joy, to understand that that's who you want to be is a big way that you can step forward. I think that's the place we want to start then, because that question that one has to ask oneself, is it a priority to me to live in joy? How many people do you think have actually asked themselves that question? I would say it's probably pretty low, but I would say as a Christian, it should not be low because we are commanded to live in joy.
Right, right. But I have a question here too. Like I'm thinking of going into my my workplace where there are a couple of Catholics, but there are some very fervent Protestants as well. I don't think they have like an octave of Easter.
No, generally, no.
Okay. Yeah. So like, I want to kind of evangelize in a way about Easter joy to these fellow Christians who love Jesus so much. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's going to be interesting. So pray for me. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I'm going to do that.
Yeah. I have a great suggestion if you want to hear it. So the starting point would be ask about them. Happy Easter. Tell me about your Easter celebration. Right. And then as they express what happened for Easter and if they, you know, show that they, you know, if they had joy, you know, you're like, that's awesome. I'm so glad you had a good Easter. You know, I want to tell you about mine. You know, we had the Easter Sunday. It was amazing. This is what I experienced, but I'm so blessed that the Catholic Church actually continues the celebration of Easter in a big way for 8 days, really formally, but then even for a whole season of 50 days. So just like to say, our church gets so excited about that we have this, and that really blesses me to be given permission in a way to keep celebrating and to have that sort of institutionalized in a way through the church and the way she lives her faith is such a blessing. So like, and you could even say, you know, so I would love it if you would like join me. Like, can we just keep this entire week as if it were Easter Sunday every day? And maybe you could come up with a little something concrete that you could do to sort of remember that each day. Like even just saying Happy Easter every day this week at work, you know, and just bring that suggestion. But if you present it as an invitation, like, I would love it if you would join me. So often that's received better than a, like, you should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So that's
a great
way
one.
To look at it.
I want to get back to what we're talking about, different types of expressions of joy, from temperament to facial expressions. We were talking about that off air. I thought that was pretty interesting. Now, some people are different in the way they express their joy.
Yeah, some people are definitely going to be more extroverted in their joyful expression, more bubbly, shall we say. And that's great. And I think it's the important thing is to always be authentic to who you are. And which gets back to that question of asking oneself, do I prioritize in my life living in a spirit of joy? And to really honestly ask that question. And if the answer is yes, that is a priority to me, then to say, okay, well, what is the way that I express that in my life? And actually like look at one's own self and say, you know, this is how I express my joy. When I do this, when I do that, you know, that is a flowing of my joy can help you. Or if you're saying, well, I do prioritize it, but I might want to prioritize it, but you know, I don't really feel like I'm actually actively living it. Mm. And then make a plan about how you can be more expressive of the joy that's in your heart. But, you know, I really want to encourage people, if you're asking yourself that question, well, do I prioritize that? And the answer comes back, I don't even feel that. Mm. I don't feel joy in my heart. Well, that is a place that we're called then to take that to the Lord, because the Lord Christ Jesus says, I have come to bring you joy, and that your joy may be complete, complete joy. Mm. That's what he wants for us. And so if we're not experiencing even a measure of joy, there's more the Lord wants to give to us.
Amen.
And then we have to ask ourselves, what is inhibiting my reception of the joy that the Lord wants for me in my life?
That's true.
You know, and to do that work, to look at that. And if you are experiencing joy, but you're not expressing it, then ask the question, what's inhibiting my expression? Why do I not feel free to express the joy that I feel?
Mm. Yeah, I don't have that problem. I'm more tending to, like, you know, if I leave the house in the morning feeling somewhat melancholic, but I get around people that I love and adore, and they elevate me just by the countenance of who they are, then my joy really starts to get really bubbles to the top, so to speak, because of the goodness of God putting these people in my path.
It seems like...
Oh, hey, Caleb's got a word. Let's hear it.
I have a question, or I want to add a wrinkle. It seems like there's an aspect that it's oftentimes people kind of expect joy to be a reaction that they feel to kind of like external stimuli or things happening in their life. But it seems like what y'all are saying, like with Pam, you're talking about having to kind of battle some things that are maybe your kind of natural temperament and things like that to have joy, that in some ways, at least, it's kind of a choice. So, and I've experienced that for sure in my life. So maybe what are some things people could do that would help them make that choice for themselves?
Yeah, that's a great question. Absolutely. Do you have any thoughts you want
to? I'm trying to think about like the origins of when I kind of started knowing that if I am who I say I am, if I love Jesus according to what my heart, because there was a time in my life I really felt like I was not living expression of my love of Jesus in the world.
Right, sure.
Like I just wasn't. It was in my heart. He was in my heart, but it wasn't expressed. And then I heard that quote from Mother Teresa about joy is a net in which we catch souls. Therefore, if I am not apparently joyful because I do possess Jesus in my heart, I'm not evangelizing. I'm not bringing him to the world according to the way he's asked me to. So I was very convicted about at that moment trying to live a Christian joy. And what does that look like? And what does that mean? Well, the way I started going, it's like, well, why do you not express it? And I can't speak for people maybe that's temperament wise, but I'm definitely sanguine melancholic. That is my, for those of you that know those expressions, that is my personality. And I did have to start to overcome things that try and keep me small. So I would start there.
Right.
The deceiver wants to keep you small and down and to squelch your joy.
Yeah.
And find that area where he has easiest access to you. You know, for me, in case it was just that melancholic feelings, which I eventually would start to rebuke and say, I don't, that's not who I am or how God made me. I mean, maybe there's an essence of that, but overall, I wanted to express a love he had put in my heart and started there. And how do you capture and what do you do with the joy? And for me, I find that joy mostly, it began by looking in the faces of my children. That is to me, one of the most beautiful forms of experiencing joy of God's goodness is the children that he gives us.
Sure.
Yeah. It's amazing and abundant. Well, I say that grows. you know, go back into what you have with your spouse. And then it also becomes, who's God put in your path today? Sure. And we're to love them with that same amount of joy of the goodness and richness that they, you know, even if that's a person that irritates you, thanks be to God. Mm-hmm. Rejoice in all things, right?
Yeah.
Because they're there to teach you to be better and love better.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that comes to my mind is kind of putting first things first. And it, actually, a hymn is kind of going through my heart. So, and I'll just say the lyrics.
No.
Joyful,
sing it.
joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sky above. We adore you, Lord. We love you, your goodness, your love for us, your Jesus Christ who came and died and rose again for us. Like, if nothing in our life is going well, if our children have rejected, if our spouse is abusive towards us, if the government is after our money and our everything, yet still the Lord loves us and created us. And so if we start there, if we start with the reality that we were created in love for love, and the joy that comes from knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God, not height nor depth, not powers nor principalities. Like, that is the source of our Christian joy, and nothing can take it away. And so if we aren't experiencing it, the question is, do we believe it? And if we're struggling to believe it, understand that faith is a theological virtue. It's a gift from the Lord. And so ask for it. Mm-hmm. You want to know where to start? If you're struggling to show joy, ask the Lord for the gift of joy. It's his gift, and he wants to give it to us. Do we want to receive it? Exactly. Because a gift given from the Lord, and us truly recognizing that this gift is given from the Lord, mm-hmm. we are then called to share that gift. We're so excited about what God's done for us, then we want to share it with others, and it will overflow naturally. So that's what I say. Start with your love for the Lord.
Which the Lord just really gave me kind of like a insight when you were mm-hmm. talking about that, is that I want to ask our listeners, where is your focus? Are you focused on things of the world where there is much to be sad about and
Absolutely.
Depressed and down about? Are you focused on the things of heaven? Because until you start focusing on the things of heaven, that joy is so very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But again, capturing that joy by focusing on the things of heaven instead of on the things of earth, that's a major key.
Absolutely.
To getting your joy.
Absolutely.
Go claim it.
Claim it. You know, and I think one of the things that I would say the Protestant world does really do very well is really claiming the victory has been won. The mm-hmm. victory has been won. We are victors in Christ Jesus. And to remember that always, like, no matter what is going on with us or the world, the victory's won. We just need to claim it and believe it in our hearts and know that this present hour, this present day is passing, and we have an eternal bliss that awaits us. And what's more joy? What more can we be joyful about than that?
Right.
So, you know, in this Easter season, you know, that continues beautifully in the octave, which is the 8 days, but then the whole 50 days prior to Pentecost. Let's consider this the practice zone. This is the time to really be practicing this joyful spirit so then we can continue it when time gets ordinary, you know, and when the, you know, things don't seem so heightened, that we can go back to that place and say, where does my joy really come from? Where mm-hmm. does my soul find its joy? And then claim it, embrace it, and then share it. And the reality is, I think the more we do that, the more we have that as our focus, the more we share that, we come to greater peace in our lives. We experience this life in a way that is so much more just enjoyable. That word, enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is in the middle. You want to enjoy life? Be joyful.
Amen. And it is a choice. I love that. you know, you do have a choice to just kind of rewire your brain toward that joy. And again, that comes, in my humble opinion, by focusing on things of heaven and not things of earth.
Amen. When I used to host the Red Sea Roundup show, remember?
Yes.
Remember the tagline?
Yes. It's still used today.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was canceled, but well, why don't we say it? So when choosing between the values of heaven and the world, always round up. So Amen. We hope that this little discussion of joy has, really encouraged you to consider growing in joy in your life and receiving that gift that the Lord wants for you. And we will pray for that for you and an increase of it in ourselves. Although I don't know, Pam, if we increased in joy, we might be too much to take.
Yeah. Well, especially when we're together, it's like a little off the chart. But, we could be annoying.
You know, I just want to thank God. I want to thank God for all his goodness and all the ways that he gives us things to be joyful about and just embrace that and acknowledge him in all his beautiful ways and ask for him to bless all of you as you go forth from listening to this podcast. I hope that it's brought joy to your heart. I hope that you will share it with those that maybe would bring joy to their hearts. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you will come back next time. So until then, we hope you'll remain united with us in prayer. God bless.
God bless.